Your brothers and sisters in Christ. A few years ago, I talked with one of my parish members. Now, she hasn't registered to this church that long, but so when she, I mean, he had weak faith. He used to speak in a harsh language. And simply put, you know, he got many things to change. However, he said that he started to listen to message. And he said he now realizes how precious those words are. And I advised him to manage a good Christian life. Then he said, Pastor, I'll surely go to New Jerusalem. He made this confession. Courage. So I asked him why. Then he answered like this, with his eyes, you know, moistened. Father God made me. He loves me. And He has been leading me. But I've never seen His face. Neither have I. I'm so sad to live without seeing Him now. If I'm not sanctified, then I won't be able to see His face in heaven. So, I gotta go to New Jerusalem to see my Father's God's face and the Lord's face. I will surely go to live with them. He made this confession. Well, it made me happy all day long. It was truly a mommy member. I think you can make this kind of confession, just as he said. Most of you lead very diligent Christian lives. Why is that? Of course, you do that because you are protected and you receive blessing as you manage a good Christian life. However, the biggest reason is that once you accomplish all spirit and go to New Jerusalem, then you can live with Father God and with the Lord all day, all forever and ever. So why do you love God so much? It's because we have seen, heard, learned, and experienced how and how much God loves us in this church. Tonight, I'll deliver a message referring to the sermon, The Fiery Serpent and the Cross, last part of the message of the cross. But we will check our hearts through the event of Fiery Serpent, and we will think about the love of Father God. In addition, we will look into the power of God, which is related to this message. I refer to Shepherd's sermons in the message of the cross, the power, and we never stops, and so on. Brothers and sisters, John 3, verses 14 to 16 says, As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God, Son of Man, be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a prophecy that Jesus would be hung on the cross. However, the parable that he used in Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, right? The Moses lifting up the serpent here indicates the event of fiery serpent in Numbers in the chapter 21. How is it related with the cross of Jesus? And what's the lesson that we gotta learn? Through this message, we can remember the meaning of the cross of Jesus once again and realize how we should lead our Christian life. The incident of fiery serpent happened after the Exodus. Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And they cried out to God to save them. And when the time came, God sent Moses. God showed his amazing power through Moses and set the Israelites free from the slavery. The Egyptians, Israelites left Egypt with great expectations, that they were so much grateful for the Almighty God, truly saved them as they asked. And they were chosen people by God, and they would glorify God. So they were so excited. they must be happy to live in abundance in the land of Canaan, in the flowing with milk and honey. With this kind of hope and high expectation, they went for the land of promise. Soon, they realized the reality was quite different from what they expected. They thought that they would go into the land flowing with milk and honey right after they left Egypt. They thought they would enjoy only glory and blessing after the Exodus as God's chosen people. However, God didn't let them do so. He first guided them to the wilderness because they had to be qualified to enter the blessed land. They had to prepare a proper vessel to receive blessings by overcoming hardships, relying on God. But the Israelites didn't understand such will of God. You know, whenever they faced difficulties, they only grumbled and complained. Even after they reached the land of Canaan, they couldn't show their faith to take it. So, they had to go through the 40-year-long trials in the wilderness. During these 40 years, you know, they kept on complaining against God and they grudged against Moses whenever they had hardships. And every time Moses prayed to God and opened the way to go through all the hardships, they continued on their journey through the faith of only one person, Moses. At the end of 40-year-long wilderness, the people's resentment and complaining brought about a great disaster. Numbers 2:21 verse 4 says, "And they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. However, the king of Edom refused it." We can understand the king's heart. Like, there were like 600,000 men in the Israelites. The population was well over 2 million. What about those Israelites had attacked them? His country would have been destroyed. Even Egyptians, you know, knelt down before Israelites. And the king heard that the Red Sea was departed and the water gushed out from the rock. And manna came down from heaven. So the king was so surprised and he got scared. Because of this and that reason, the king rejected the offer. Even though Israelites said that, you know, they would use only the big road and they would pay for water. So Israelites had to go around from Edom. They couldn't go into the land of Canaan directly, but had to wander around in the wilderness. They complained about this greatly. Numbers 21:5 says, "The people spoke against God and Moses, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?'" He said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" God saved them from the 40-year-long of slavery, but now they were complaining. And they said, "There is no food and no water. We loathe this miserable food." What is this miserable food? They refer to manna. They couldn't find food in the wilderness, but Father God provided them manna. Without manna, the whole people would starve in the wilderness. So the manna is not miserable food, it's a precious food. However, in their complaining, they forgot the grace. They even disgraced the grace of God. And these evil words and deeds made God angry. God was so angry with them, and suddenly, fiery serpents with deadly poison appeared. Many people had died bitten by the fiery serpents and got injured. It was only then that they came to Moses and repented. When Moses prayed for them, God gave him a way to avoid disaster. He said, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." It's kind of weird, right? Moses obeyed the word of God and then put a serpent on the pole. And whoever looked at the bronze serpent they were healed and they could save their lives. This is the story of the fiery serpent. This incident has a such, you know, spiritual meaning, and it applies to us living in this last generation. So what are the lessons that God wants us to learn here? First, it is that we have to receive the answer from God whenever we have any problems. God the Almighty is the one who controls not only the fiery serpent, but also all things of the world. It was God who allowed the fiery serpents to appear and who saved the people from those serpents. Of course, God didn't just let the fiery serpents appear suddenly. The wilderness Israelites were traveling was originally full of danger. It is full of, you know, dangerous beings such as poisonous insects and scorpions. And they couldn't find food there. It was not a proper place for people to live in. But because God fed them, protected them, and guided them delicately, you know, they could live in the wilderness. Now think about the fiery serpents. They didn't suddenly show up and, you know, attacked, you know, and bitten Israelites. There were many fiery serpents in the wilderness, actually. But they couldn't harm the people because they were under God's protection. However, by disobeying and complaining against God who protected them, they got out of God's protection. And the fiery serpents began to bite those Israelites. We mommy members also have this kind of experience. It happened in 1991. When we had the summer retreat at the beach in Gurepo. Nowadays, we have summer retreats in Muzhou, 3 nights and 4 days, right? Back then, it lasted about a month. Beginning with students' summer retreats, it ended with the men's and women's mission summer retreat. So for 5 weeks, they were pastor seminar and the summer retreat for students, and college students and Cana members and young and light and salt missions and so on. And many people experienced amazing, you know, miracles. And local people were surprised because a village suddenly appeared. You know, restaurants and, you know, the tents and big places for people gathering up, restrooms, and they even dug in the well. Anyway, we made tents. You know, when we have tents by the beach and it's so, you know, hot. So they found the place under the tree and then they had the tents over there. It looked like a beautiful new town just appeared. At the end of the summer retreat in the day, they cleaned up the place. And poisonous snakes were found under the tents. Local people said that mountain is originally full of, you know, poisonous snakes. You know, when our members were making tents in the mountain, the local people, you know, asked mommy people, "Don't you see snakes?" But we didn't see them. And they said, "It's strange." So anyway, our church people looked around to see, you know, snakes, but they couldn't find no snakes at all. Such snakes were found after we finished the summer retreat. What if we had found the snakes during the summer retreat? We could all run away, right? However, as Father God protected us, we couldn't see any of those snakes. At the end of the summer retreat, Father God showed that I protected you, even though there are so many snakes. And we gave great glory to Father God. Besides these snakes, we have many more in the testimonies. The biggest one was that, you know, when our shepherd was talking about resurrection during the students' summer retreat, we saw a cicada, you know, came out from the nymph. Shepherd was talking about the resurrection, and he found a cicada, and then a nymph, and then there was a cicada came out. It was completely complying to his message. The nymph seemed dead. However, a cicada came out. So they felt as if they saw the resurrection right before their eyes. So it happened 28 years ago. So if you were a student back then, now you're in 40s, right? So as Father God worked like this, you know, we received such great grace. So when we had summer retreat from Monday to Thursday, the weather was good, but it started to rain once we finished the summer retreat. Well, this is the testimony we actually, experience every time, right? We have summer retreat in the beginning of the first week of August, which is full of, typhoons and heavy rain. However, since our Father God, adjust the weather and temperature, our summer retreat can be very prosperous. The rain stops, but at the end of the summer retreat, it rains. Back then, it happened again. Since thousands of our members were there, and then they dug well, but at the end of the summer retreat, the well dried up, and the water didn't come up. Amazing, isn't it? One more thing. There wasn't supposed to have well. However, in the summer retreat, we got water from the well. But at the end of the summer retreat, the well dried up. Now, that area became national park and became famous beach. Now, let's go back to the story of Israelites. So as I told you earlier, the wilderness was full of fiery serpents, but since Father God protected, nobody was bitten. However, now, Father God is not protecting them. So, fiery serpents start to bite people. As people grudged and complained against God, Father God could not protect them, and they were bitten by fiery serpents. The people of Israel had to find the cause of the problem in their relationship with God, and they gained the solution to the problem from God. It's not only about the people of Israel. We also have to go to God to find the answers to any kind of problem that we may face on this earth. And there is a spiritual reason. The fiery serpent refers to the enemy devil and Satan. Genesis 3:14 says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Dust you will eat all the days of your life.'" The dust refers to Adam and his descendants, who sinned and went back to the flesh. So, it referred to those who don't live by the word of God and Gentiles in this time. Since Adam's fall, the serpent, the enemy devil and Satan, brings about trials and tests to the people of flesh who live and sins, taking them as their food. And they experience all kinds of disasters and diseases. The worldly people attribute, everything to coincidence when they get a disease or meet disasters, accidents, problems, and difficulties, because they don't know the spiritual reason. However, God's children should never do so. It's not a coincidence. If Father God protects, there is no such a thing as coincidence. 1 John 5:18 says, "We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." We know that no one who is born of God sins, which means that he who lives in the light by the word of God. And the Holy Spirit and the Lord, who are born of God, protect him. And nobody, evil people cannot touch him. Even though there were many fiery serpents, when God protected the Israelites, the serpents couldn't harm them. Likewise, there were many disasters in this world, but Christians don't have to face with tests and trials when God protects them. So, when we have problems, we gotta find the reason why we couldn't be protected by God. Just as the people of Israel repented and they came before Moses, we gotta repent of our wrongdoings and come before God. If we repent thoroughly and tear down the wall of sin and come to the light according to the word of God, any kind of problems can be solved. The second thing that we have to realize from this incident of fiery serpent is that when we go through the trials of faith, we should receive them with thanks and joy. James 1:4 says, "Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." God allows trials of faith to His children so that, you know, they might have faith as pure gold and prepare their vessels to receive blessings. Also in this world, people go through trials if they want to succeed in some area. No matter how good they are in sports, you know, they have to go through tedious and difficult training. Entrepreneurs, you know, experience many kind of difficulties. Some people, you know, commit suicide because they don't see any hope. Only when they overcome it can they succeed. It's the same in spiritual way. How can a child of God enter New Jerusalem automatically? We need human cultivation to become true children of God. Through this human cultivation, we can discern right and wrong and light and darkness. Through this cultivation, who are true children and who are not? The patriarchs in the Bible also went through the days of trials with many kinds of hardships until they received the blessings that God had promised them. Once they overcome that difficulties, they became the most beautiful fruit. King David, even after he was anointed as the king, had to run away from Saul, who was trying to kill him. David sacrificed himself for the country. He won many battles. He obeyed the king. He was loved by people. However, King Saul was jealous of him. So David had to run away from the killers that King Saul sent. He had to hid himself in Judah and many other areas. He one time, you know, had to flee to Palestine. And he had to, you know, pretend as if he were crazy. He even saved the city. But the people of the city reported to King Saul that David was there, so he had to run away. Even after he became the king, due to the rebellion of his son Absalom, he had to run away. However, even when he was young, David depended on God. He continually looked upon himself. He became humble, and he bore the fruits proper in his repentance. He was sanctified. He was loved by Father God and his people, and he is still called the greatest king in Israel. Think about Joseph, who suffered from many hardships for 13 years until he became the prime minister of Egypt. He was sold by his own brothers to slave. Can you imagine that? He was diligent in his master's house, Potiphar. He kept the word of God. However, because of that, he was misunderstood and he went to prison. Even though he lived by the word of God, things didn't seem in the prosperous. And even though he interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer of the king Pharaoh, you know, 2 years passed by. What if you were in shoes of Joseph? You know, you could have been disappointed, right? However, Joseph depended on Father God and overcame these trials. He didn't know how Father God would save him, but he didn't complain. He didn't grudge. He was diligent in whatever he was doing, and he kept goodness. He didn't think of revenge on his brothers who sold him as a slave. He rather tried to understand the hearts of his brothers. he regretted not, you know, understanding, you know, his brothers. What was the result? He became prime minister of Egypt, and he became a very precious instrument for the people of Israel. And Father God made his life prosperous all the time. Likewise, while the fathers of faith were going through the hardships, they humbled themselves more and more and cast off all sins. Eventually, they prepared the vessel to receive blessings. Only if we prepare the proper vessel to receive blessings, God will comfort us for all the trials that we have gone through and reward us with overflowing blessings. It was the same with the Israelites. The trials that the Israelites had to go through in the wilderness were also a step to get the blessed land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 15 and 16, God said to the people of Israel, He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do good for you in the end. You can find the reason here. He might humble you and that He might test you to do good for you in the end. If the people truly believed in God and trust God, they shouldn't have complained against God about the difficulties. They should have thanked God for His blessings, and they should have changed themselves. We are so thankful for meeting God and accepting the Lord as our Savior and go to heaven, right? Father God wants to give us only the good things. So He always looking for a chance to give us a blessing. However, if our vessel is broken, the water will leak out. So if we don't have vessel which can receive blessing, Father God cannot bless us. So in order to help us make our vessel, we go through trials. But people do not know the love of Father God like this. They rather complain against God. After going through the trials with thanks and joy, that they could surely go into the promised land of Canaan. Only when we prepare the vessel to receive blessings through the trials and prove our faith by passing the tests, can the enemy devil and Satan do not, you know, object to it when God gives us blessing. But if we complain and grumble in the hardships, the trials will not end but last longer, and the blessing will not come. Speaking the words of, you know, complaints and resentment is the evidence that you do not have the vessel prepared to receive blessings. Romans 8, verse 18 says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And James 5, 11 says, Behold, we count those blessed who endured. We have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. You and I should give thanks to God and endure until the end by trusting the merciful God in any kind of situations. But I do not mean that you just be patient alone. You gotta discover yourself. And we should enjoy all the blessings that are prepared for us by changing ourselves as God wants us to be. Well, Father God wants to bless us in this moment of blessing. If we think about the history of Mammon, you can realize it. So let me introduce a part from the Shepherd's Book, you know, I Will Never Stop. After the three tests in 1998 and 1999, you know, our shepherd remembered this. So here, I refers to the shepherd. Bad rumors spread much faster than good news. Father God thought about the way which no one could imagine to let the people of the world know this God, to know this church. Father God, everything worked for the good. He said, don't worry. It is blessing. There is a hidden blessing. The evil will be defeated. I am good God. I will surely win. I will surely win. I will surely win. In the Bible, Joseph was sold by his stepbrothers. He was wrongfully accused. However, it was not misfortune. Father God was with Joseph, and everything was prosperous with him. Joseph became prime minister, and he set the foundation of Israelites. How amazing providence of God it is. Even though reality seems no good, the providence of Father God is accomplished without error. There were so many difficulties and persecutions due to incident. Our members were divorced, and they were forced to retire from their company. Students were isolated, and people threw stones at our church bus. Then I started to pray, Father God, please let me take the sorrow and pain for my people. Not let us overcome this trial and come out as pure gold. There were people who left this church. Thankfully, most of our members overcame it by faith. Father God said there will be great spiritual growth after this trial. He said, do not look at the number, but look at the good chaff and good grains. It will surely become the light, and they will help you out. Our members grew up strong. The plants in greenhouse are weak. However, plants in the wilderness are strong. Since we have to accomplish the world mission with strong faith, Father God trained our members through three tests. If I had lied once a bit, then this church would not exist. Father God would not give his power to fault the serpent. We won the case against the broadcasting company, and the whole world noticed it. However, it was not enough to cover our wounds. Father God was pleased with my seven-time vowed prayer, and Father God made the power that I manifested greater. All glory be to God. Father God was pleased when I prayed for power over power. Father God added me great power upon power. And Father God worked that, countless souls could be saved. Through three tests, Father God blessed me with the power which was in a totally different level. And He made us begin the world mission through overseas crusades. It's been 17 months since the first trial started. Dear brothers and sisters, through this moment of blessing, we got to change that we have to accomplish the world mission by the power of our shepherd. Brothers and sisters, the third thing that we have to realize from the incident of fiery serpents is that the love of Father God who helped the Israelites gain faith by looking at the bronze serpent. When they were bitten by the fiery serpents, they could live if they look at the bronze serpent. But the Almighty God could have healed them with this power without making them looking at the bronze serpent. Father God made Israelites have faith by seeing it and touch it. In the days of Jesus, there was a centurion who confessed, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. What if the Israelites had such faith? God could have just said, be healed. However, they didn't have that kind of faith. Regardless of the greatness of God's power, if they didn't believe, they gotta die by the poison of the fiery serpents. So, God gave them a symbol to look up to help them have faith easily. Once fiery serpent dies, he cannot harm people. So when they looked at the serpent that died, they could believe that Father God would save them from the disaster of the fiery serpents. Our shepherd told us what he experienced in his childhood. Back then, he could find snakes on his way home. People had to kill snakes. And the people, put that, snakes, dead snakes on the wooden branch or the wall. Well, people believe that if left alone, the snake would come back to life and, visit the house. So people were scared when they couldn't find the dead body of snakes. But when they found the dead snakes, then they could be relieved. Likewise, when people believe something, there is a big difference in their confidence according to whether or not they see it with their own eyes. So that's why Jesus and many forefathers of faith showed signs that Father God is alive. The reason why this church has to show the evidences of the living God lies here. John 4:48, our Lord said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." Even though the Bible talks about the Almighty God and preachers say, "Believe in the Lord," those who have hardened hearts are not willing to believe. Even among the Christians, there are many people, who compromise with the world and don't live by the Word of God. But if people see, hear, and experience the powerful works of God, even unbelievers are more likely to accept God and believe Him. Also, Christians can have true faith and live by Word of God. So how is this event of the Israelites receiving salvation? By looking at the bronze serpent on the roll, on the pole related to us today. Our Lord said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in Him have eternal life." As it is said, this incident symbolizes the cross of Jesus. It was the symbol of our Lord's dying on the cross. Sinless Jesus took all sins of sinners, and He was hung on the cross like the fiery serpent was hung on the standard. However, while serpent is Satan, how can we say looking at the serpent on the pole and looking at Jesus on the cross are the same thing? It's because Jesus taking the cross means destruction of the enemy, devil, and Satan. Looking at Jesus on the cross is to, is looking by faith at the destruction of the enemy, devil, and Satan's authority and death. And through this faith, we gain eternal life. In the message of the cross, you already listened to the providence of breaking the authority of the enemy, devil, and Satan by Jesus in the crucifixion. The wage of sin is death according to the spiritual law. So Adam and his descendants, who became sinners as a result of Adam's fall, had to be punished. He had to live under the authority of the enemy, devil, and Satan, suffering from all kinds of tests and trials. And after they die, they had to fall into hell. To save mankind, Jesus came to this earth. This time, the enemy, devil, instigated the evil people to kill Jesus, sinless Jesus, on the cross. The devil thought that they would enjoy the authority of death forever only if they killed Jesus, who came as a Savior. But by doing this, the devil lost the authority of death. Why is that? According to the law of the spiritual realm, the death penalty applies only to sinners. So the enemy, devil, and Satan violated the law of the spiritual realm by killing sinless Jesus. Since they violated the law of the spiritual realm, they had to pay the price too. They had to give up their authority over the death of people who believe in Jesus as their Savior. This is the profound wisdom of Father God and the providence of salvation hidden before ages. The crucifixion of Jesus is a clear historical event. And anyone can be saved if he believes in Jesus, who was hung on the cross as a Savior. Also, when we pray by faith in the name of the Lord, we can get away from all kinds of tests and trials. But even though Jesus redeemed all men from their sins, those who not believe this fact cannot receive salvation. If they don't believe, it's useless, right? There were people like that in the days of the fiery serpents. The people of Israel could be saved only if they looked at the serpent on the pole. But those who had hardened hearts didn't obey such a simple thing. So they couldn't help but die of the poison of the fiery serpent. It implies many things. Even around us, we can find such people with hardened hearts as the people of Israel. What if we were there? Well, our shepherd once explained this like this. Well, now let's say you go to the wilderness. Would you look up to the fiery serpent or bronze serpent? Well, I would. However, there are many people who would not see and die, even though it is so easy to look up to. We preach gospel. We say, believe in Jesus, but they don't believe. Even Christians don't try to see the power of God. They don't believe. Even though there is the work of God in Mommy Magazine, but they say it's a lie. They could believe it, but they don't try to believe it. They just say it's impossible within their own fleshly knowledge. They can find many evidences in this church. Many people who testify to their healings. So they can ask them, right? How could you be healed? Countless people were healed in this church. They could have asked them. Many people received a death sentence in the hospital, but they were healed after receiving prayer. They could have asked you, right? But there are so many people who don't believe, even though Father God works like this. They don't even try to see the works of God. So think about the fiery serpent. Similarly, even today, we can just accept Jesus Christ and look at Him with faith. But those who don't believe cannot be saved, and they will still, you know, fall into hell after suffering from hardships and trials. So how grateful we are, we believe the cross of the Lord, that we are saved. Because we witness countless evidences of power of God in this church, we can surely believe in the Lord, and we can cast off sin and lead a spiritual Christian life. We should rejoice when works of God's power are manifested. Just as the people of Israel who didn't look at the bronze serpent at the standard, there are people who don't believe even after seeing works of God's power. They have to rejoice because the kingdom of God is expanded, but they rather persecute church where the power of God is manifested. Well, once our shepherd manifests the power of recreation, then they will turn back, right? But we have to correctly understand the power of God first. So let me tell you about the power of God. Once, you know, I had a conversation with a person from other church. He was curious about many kinds of healing works and miracles. He said, "Doesn't Mommy Church concentrate on too much on healing works? Don't we see power of God manifested in another church?" So I explained about what he misunderstood. First, his church doesn't focus only on healing works. Our shepherd has told us that we gotta live by the word of God and we give fiery, fervent prayers. What Father God wants us to want is that we gotta live by the word of God and be sanctified. And we gotta practice that. Word, prayer, praises, duty, they're all important. And healing works and signs and wonders are also important too. Because it proves that Father God is alive and He helps us to have strong faith. That person asked if the work of God can be manifested in other churches. Well, he does not know about the power of God well. He was confused. Well, some people who do not know the power of God are confused with the healing, gift of healing. Of course, not only in this church, but also in other churches, healing works are done in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's natural, and it's very, we got to rejoice with that. When people pray in the name of the Lord, that healing works take place, and so many people are saved and they glorify God, right? Beautiful. Our shepherd also said that, you know, it would be so great if many churches have this kind of, you know, gift of healing and so many people are saved. However, not only the gift of the healing, but the power of God should be manifested to enlarge and expand the kingdom of God. However, he said, it's difficult to find the man who manifests God's power. Well, I remember what he said like this. I was a student. He said, he went out to the world to find the person who could manifest the power of God. So he was looking for such people whenever he went to overseas crusade. But he couldn't find anyone yet so far. The power of God, the gift of healing, are completely different. The gift of healing written in 1 Corinthians 12:9 can heal diseases caused by germs and viruses. So, it cannot heal any degenerated organs or damaged nerves. It cannot heal the mute or dumb. It's possible only by God's power. Only when a man with God's power prays by faith according to God's will, it can be healed. Also, once you receive God's power, it wouldn't be taken away. But the gift of healing is different. The gift of healing doesn't have much to do with sanctification. If you love souls very much and accumulate fervent prayers, or if you are proper in God's sight, you may receive the gift of healing. But if you don't use it for God's glory, but use it improperly, seeking your own benefit, God will take it away from you. On the contrary, because God's power is given to the one who is sanctified, it will not be taken away. Because he doesn't have any evil, so he will not use it for his own benefit. He can even manifest even greater power of God as he resembles the heart of the Lord. He can manifest the power, the same power that our Lord manifested, if he is completed and united as one with the Lord. So the power of God and gift of healing is so different. If the man with the gift of healing, powers of great prayers, and proper in the will of God, you know, he can manifest even greater works. However, by this gift of healing, any serious diseases or incurable diseases cannot be healed. It is even more difficult when patients have little faith. However, it's impossible with the power of God. When patients show even a little bit of spiritual faith, it works. During the crusade in the Philippines in 2001, 80% of the attendees were non-Christians. They didn't prepare for the crusade by fastings or prayer. However, as Father God worked his power, those who were in the crusade, when they showed even little faith, they could have faith and they were healed. Once you receive God's power, you can manifest the signs that can make the blind come to see, the mute come to speak, and dumb come to hear. And there will be the works of creation as the power of God goes stronger. Then even the burned part of the body or the damaged nerve could be regenerated and it can be healed because it can be recreated. At the fourth level of God's power, even the weather and temperature could be adjusted and the non-living things can obey. As our Lord, as our Lord commanded the wind and the sea, the wind became calm and the sea became calm, right? This cannot be done with the gift of healing. Let me tell you some testimonies. August 2014, there was Ebola virus in Equateur state in DR Congo. Sebastian Impato Fango was the governor of the state, was commanded by the president to deal with the Ebola virus, but he couldn't do anything. So he asked a prayer to our senior pastor. After our shepherd prayed, the number of the victims of the Ebola decreased. And then later on, the Ebola virus was completely gone from DR Congo. During the Israel Crusade in 2009, our shepherd prayed for the victims of the flu. And then after he prayed for 8 days, there were no victims. The number of victims reduced. Only by prayer of one person, the work of God was manifested in that country. Back then, it didn't rain in Israel, so they were short of water. And the government of Israel, stopped the Israelites from taking water from the Galilee Lake. So many pastors of Israel asked our shepherd to pray for rain. During the Israel Crusade in Jerusalem, he prayed God so that it would rain in Israel. However, it was September. It was dry season in Israel. However, God answered the prayer. And it rained in northern area of Israel in September 8th. And from September 19th to 21st, it rained a lot, and it was the same as the average raindrops of September and October of Israel. Since the drought was so severe, the pastor of Israel asked him to pray once more. So October 4th, millions of people watched it, and he prayed once again for Israel. Then even greater rain came. From August 1st to November 3rd, the raindrops were 7 times greater than other years. And it was reported in Israel and in Russia. Jerusalem Post said, Dr. Gerald Lee of Manmin Church of Korea prayed so that Israel would have rain. And in Victory, the Russian Christian portal site had a report that a pastor of Korea prayed so that it would rain in Jerusalem. So many people laughed at this prayer because it was dry season in Israel. Weather forecaster said nothing about rain. However, they were surprised next day because it rained. Many people said it was just coincidence. However, as our shepherd prayed again in October, and when it rained again, many people changed their thoughts. The citizens of the city of Jerusalem said, it's not coincidence. They were amazed at the miracle that they experienced right before their eyes. With regular faith, people cannot pray like this when people of the world were watching. What if the prayer was not answered? However, we experienced this kind of works many times. As he prayed, typhoon and hurricane disappeared and flooding stopped. Diseases were gone. People were protected from accidents. Without the power of God, it cannot be explained, right? It's not easy to receive God's power, though. First, you gotta cast off every form of evil and become sanctified. In addition, you've got to fulfill the highest level of goodness and love. What is goodness? You think it's goodness to suppress your anger, even though people, you know, bother you? No way. It's not goodness in the sight of God. If you just endure even the evil people try to bother you, well, it's the baseline of the basic of goodness in the sight of God. The true goodness is that you should even be able to move the heart of those evil people. And later on, the highest level of goodness that Father God desires is to the level of giving up your life for evil people. Jesus was the one who had this highest level of goodness. So he forgave those who crucified on the cross, and he gave his life to save them. Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot would betray him. He knew that he was stealing money. He knew everything. However, Jesus gave him chances so that he could have repented and turned back. He said, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and gave it to him." And he dipped the morsel, took it and gave it to Judas. It was the last chance. However, Judas Iscariot didn't turn back. And he betrayed. However, even at the moment of being crucified on the cross, Jesus did only the goodness. Luke 23:34, our Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Sinless Jesus eventually broke the authority of death, and he resurrected. Moses also was willing to give up his life for people who tried to harm him and kill him. Israelites complained against God even after experiencing great signs and wonders. So Father God would try to destroy them. And then Moses said in Exodus 32:32, "But now, if you will, forgive their sin. And if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." What about the Apostle Paul? Romans 9:3 says, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Do you think they were fool to do such a thing? No way. Since they accomplished the highest level of giving up their own lives for evil people, they could manifest such great power of God. And you also have to accomplish spiritual love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Those who follow such goodness and love, Father God gives His power as evidence that God loves them. So how many people were qualified in all conditions before God and received the power in this church? There's only one, right? Our shepherd. While we didn't receive power, how can we experience the power? Through the handkerchief that our shepherd prayed on. You know, we experience many kind of works, healing works or casting demons. Our shepherd understood the heart of Father God who wants to save souls. So he prayed to receive this power to save countless souls. From the start of this church, he manifested so many works of God's power. Countless souls were saved, and they received healing works and blessings. When Father God says He is sinless, then He is sinless. Would Father God give His power to evil men? Would God give His power to just anyone? No way. You and I, Man Min, believe in Father God. We believe that Father God chooses the one who is proper and gives him his power. We heard, we saw, and experienced amazing power of God manifested through our shepherd. And we experienced the love and goodness of our shepherd. That's why we love and trust our shepherd that Father God is with. Last 7 months, many things happened. But we held on to the word our shepherd delivered, and we have prayed, and we kept our place, and we are waiting for victory. Brothers and sisters, I told you three things that we have to realize through the incident of fiery serpents. We got to receive solution from God to any problem in our lives. Second, we got to be thankful and rejoice when we go through trials and faith. Third, we got to realize the love of the Father God who let the Israelites gain faith by looking at the bronze serpent. Everyone who looks at the cross of the Lord can avoid all curses and disasters. Until we go to Canaan sanctuary, we got to march on. Well, if you think about the message of the cross, you may remember many words like, you know, the way of salvation, sacrifice, love, endurance, waiting. In the message of the cross, Father God's great love is contained. Let's look into the overall message of the cross. Again, briefly look through the history of mankind. Father God was alone, Almighty God. He had divinity and humanity. He was love and goodness itself. He wanted to share this glory and happiness with someone. And he began planning on human cultivation. He prepared everything for human cultivation. He existed as the God Trinity, and he created spiritual realm, angels, and many things. And he experienced the betrayal of Lucifer. She was loved, she was raised, praised, she was not humble, she was arrogant. She lost chance. And she stood against God. And she was defeated. She tries to prove that she was superior to God by interfering God's human cultivation and by dragging many souls to hell. But Father God began creation works, and he created man after his own image. Father was so pleased when he saw the first man, Adam. His laughter resounded the whole universe. Father God's heart was relieved and comforted by looking at the things that he created. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was no morning, the sixth day. Imagine the hearts of parents who got their children. Of course, the children would not grow up well. However, once their baby got born, you know, they got high expectation and hope for their child. They hoped that, you know, their child would grow up successful and be loved by many people. They hoped that, you know, your children would understand the heart and love of the parents and become happy. And they want their children to resemble them, right? It was the same with our Father God. Of course, he knew that it requires many sacrifices and tears to acquire true children. And he also knew that not all of his children become the true children. However, he believed the true children that resemble Father God would be born. He had hope. He led the first man Adam into the Garden of Eden and taught him spiritual knowledge for many, many years. Adam became the head, and he was in charge of the Garden of Eden and the first heaven. He enjoyed great authority. But he didn't know the relativity. So he couldn't realize how happy he was. Adam and Eve didn't remember the word of God. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they disobeyed God. Adam and Eve, they became blind by fleshly thought. Adam even put blame on the woman that God made for him. Can you imagine the heart of God who heard this? He must be hurt in his heart. So anyway, sinners could not stay in Eden, which was the domain of light. So Adam and Eve had to leave. As a token of his love for Adam and Eve, he made clothes of leather. As Adam and Eve came down to this earth, and it was the beginning of human cultivation. The sin Adam and Eve committed became the original sin. All the human beings became the slaves to the enemy devil, and they were destined to go to hell. Can you imagine the heart of Father God? But Father God foreknew everything beforehand. So he prepared the secret way of salvation before ages. And he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. The life of Jesus was full of sacrifices. He was the Son of the Almighty God. He had amazing power. However, he was born to become spiritual food to people. He lived a poor life to redeem man from their poverty. He became low and humble to wash his disciples' feet. He served people. He was arrested. He was flogged to redeem us from our sins and diseases. He redeemed us from all our sins by being nailed on his hands and feet and by putting on the thorn crown. However, he was sinless, so he could break the authority of death. And whoever believes in Jesus Christ could receive eternal life. As the enemy, devil, and Satan violated the spiritual law, he could give up, they should give up those who believe in Jesus. It was the prophecy of God, came true, as he said that the son of woman would squash the head of snake. They were defeated, and they were destined to be confined in the beast at the end of the human cultivation. This is the victory of God. The enemy, devil, and Satan was cheated by on their crafty scheme, so they changed the plan. Their plan to kill the Savior failed, so they tried to drag just one more soul to hell. However, Father God didn't stop here. He sent the Holy Spirit, who is the heart of God. And he was the beginning of the era of the Holy Spirit. Those who repent of their sin and accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, Holy Spirit was given to them as a gift, and the Holy Spirit revives their dead spirit and make them as children of God. And they could be called righteous by the grace of God, and they can enter heaven. However, when people commit sin and do evil, they go far from salvation. Eventually, the Holy Spirit will be quenched in their hearts, and they will have nothing to do with salvation. Such people are instigated by the enemy, devil, and Satan, and they will stand against God. And they would live even more miserable life than the people of the world. And the enemy, devil, and Satan would let go of such people. So, we should never end like this. What should we do then? We gotta diligently eat the flesh of the Lord and drink His blood to cast off untruth and fill our heart with the truth. We should not be satisfied with receiving salvation. We have to increase our faith. to the full measure of Christ. Why is that? To become true children of God. A pastor said, sanctification is not optional, but it is an obligation, right? Our ultimate goal is to become children of God by recovering the lost image of God. This is the summary of the message of the cross. In this generation, though, the interference of the enemy devil and Satan got so fierce. Even Christians don't read the Word of God and they don't pray. As the works of the Holy Spirit does not take place where the fire of the prayer disappeared, the worldly trend entered the church. Since there is no spiritual message, people live in sin and they don't realize it. We can find some churches and pastors who proclaim that the people should live by the Word of God, but their people go back to the world. It became the generation full of sin and evil in this end time. Our beloved shepherd is also doing his ministry in this generation full of sin and evil. After he was healed of his 7-year-long diseases by power of God, he met God. Out of his love for God, even when he was a layman member, he went to mountain and prayed many hours, and he communicated with God. As he read the Bible, he cast off sin, and he always wanted to live by the Word of God and how to please Him. As he piled up countless fastings and prayer, Father God gave him power. Father God was so pleased. However, it was the emergency state for the enemy devil and Satan. Think about the enemy devil and Satan. By the power of God, he let go of people. Let the people be free from sorrow, pain, and diseases. Their spirits got revived, and they become faithful to the kingdom of God. And they destroy the battle of darkness. Spiritual realm got revealed, and the reality is nothing. As the power of recreation is manifested, great people will be saved. So they got scared. So the enemy devil and Satan try all means, just as they did to Jesus, forefathers of faith, and people who loved God. They spread all kinds of bad rumors. Our shepherd was expelled from the denomination. It was the work of the enemy devil and Satan. There were even people the enemy devil and Satan instigated evil people to interfere with our crusades. Especially in Pakistan, they were force of the army to stop the crusade. And there was anti-conversion law in India crusade. But do you believe? And do you remember? Our shepherd said, fight against evil with goodness. He even forgave those who spread rumors. He gave his life for them. He even said, if there is anything wrong that I did, then report it to me, then I will pay him 7 times. Of course, there was nobody. However, he was very stubborn in disgracing God. So don't misunderstand. As he manifested power and as he spoke, the enemy devil and Satan, the barrack of darkness got scattered and destroyed. The enemy devil and Satan crucified sinless Jesus out of their evil, but they lost after all. A little while later, they will lose again to the wisdom of God. They think they are winning. However, through this incident, the power of recreation will be completed. Once the power of recreation is completed, Countless souls will come back to the Lord. The glory of Father God will cover the entire world. We will wear white dress when the Lord comes back, and we will remember these days. I couldn't understand that I will be surrounded by the whole people, the people of Holy Spirit. But I know now. This is the moment. This moment of blessing is the moment when we are being qualified to enter New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure that you feel the delight of God when He began the human cultivation because He thought about gaining true children. Can you picture the beautiful New Jerusalem in your heart, where our good God is decorating for His true children even now? I hope that we may enter that place without curse or night again after all cultivation by overcoming until the end of the end with the hope that we will make good God's expectation come true. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let me recite what our shepherd said in his book. As I see beautiful clouds and beautiful sky, I picture our Lord coming back in the air. As I was called a servant of God, all those things that I experienced, I remember the ultimate love of Father God for me, who never let go of me. Father God called Moses and made him the leader of Exodus. He promised that he would lead people to the land of promise. But he didn't tell him the 40-year-long life in the wilderness. Father God called him as his servant. And he gave me the missions of world mission and grand sanctuary. I don't know the details. But as Father God showed me all those miracles, and He has led me so far, I just show my faith and obedience, service and love. Then I can see the whole world will come to my mean, as well as king and countries, as we accomplish the grand sanctuary. We will continue the mission of Grand Sanctuary and the World Mission. People will realize the amazing power of God as we build the Grand Sanctuary. The Holy Gospel of Holiness will cover the entire earth. People will pan for the power of God on that day. Amazing power of the living God will be revealed through my mean. Until I see and welcome the Lord, we will go on. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's think over the message and pray together.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.